Blog Talk Radio.
There it is.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media. This is the underground. This is New Media.
Ranger fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger? Ranger fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger?
Now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers. And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey. 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 This is New York Rangers hockey.
What do you think of the way the team's grown? I mean, we haven't talked here in a couple of years. Since then, the organization has certainly, you know, turned it around. What are your thoughts on where the organization is?
This is very spur of the moment.
Well,
we were just in the coach's office,
and
I'll answer the question. Chill. And JR came in and said the media's ready. He said, "Can you do the media for me?" So I said, "Yes." So I'm here. So I really wasn't planning on doing anything. So, but I will give an answer to you. The answer is that very proud of the organization. I'm particularly proud of Mr. Singer because all the way back to 2004, when things weren't going so well, and we had a lot of free agents in here, and we decided to basically redo the strategy. Glenn and I made a pact, and I actually gave him something, which I won't reveal what it is today, but I gave him something to seal the pact, but said, "You can't give it back to me until we win the Stanley Cup." And I think we're pretty close to getting that thing back. So, and it's all about, you know, it's all about the system that he built. Of course, it's great coaching, but it's about the farm system and the scouting system and the development and going with the kids and sticking with that philosophy, even when at times it didn't look so good. So I'm very proud of him and I'm very proud of the organization.
How much did you know about John when Glenn came to you and said, this is the guy who's like John?
I don't think that Glenn wanted to tell me anything about John.
Sorry. You want to sit down now?
And there you have it. Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. That was the boy prince, Jim Dolan, coming down from the ivory tower, speaking to the masses. Eddie, good evening. How are you?
That's a loaded question tonight. Oh, I've been fired up since the early wee hours of the morning when I got the message from you that Dolan had come down from the mount and addressed us little people. On his musings about us winning a Stanley Cup. I couldn't wait to pull those clips. Those clips are courtesy of Rick Carpinello's blog over at lohud.com. Thanks, Carp, although he doesn't know I pulled them from there. He now knows now, hopefully. Thank you. You guys want to go over there and check him out. That's where you can hear Dolan Vision in his, I think he was a little inebriated. We'll get to some of the substance of what he talked about, I guess, in a bit. I think the most disgusting thing I got out of that was that he refers to John Rosasco as JR.
Yeah.
So I think start a, like, who shot JR? Go and maybe pull that YouTube clip from the commercial. who shot JR and play the Dallas theme every time we talk about that midget weasel. So, a lot of things to get hot about. A lot of Ranger fans. You told me there was reaction to the Dolan thing, and I didn't know it at first. I kind of missed it. So I know a lot of people were, like basically saying, listen, pay attention to Knicks. Don't focus on the Rangers.
Right. That was a prevailing comment that we saw today in the Facebook group and following along on Twitter today. We'll get into it in a few minutes. I think we'll start with the game last night. Big win for the Rangers, 3-0. Now, let me ask you a question. Callahan skating in, empty net, gets pulled down from behind. Obviously, no goalie, so it's ruled a goal. Have you ever seen that happen before?
Have I seen that happen? Yes.
You have? Okay.
It's been quite a while. I just got to interrupt. Sometimes I get these messages during the show. And Rock just messaged me and said, Eddie, you're not doing the hockey show anymore? What the hell am I doing now, Rock? What is it? Are we talking about tiddlywinks here tonight? I don't know what you mean by that. Am I not doing my own show? Am I not doing hockey card shows? I don't know what you're talking about, Rock.
Welcome
I'm trying
to
do a show here.
Welcome to Fast Food Radio with Jim and Eddie. So
yeah,
today,
I mean, really, seriously.
And a frosty.
I'll tell you know, the Baconator's gone downhill, Jim. I mean, ever since they introduced it. I mean, what are we talking about here?
No, we're not doing no more hockey shows. That's it. Done.
Yes.
It.
All right.
Once Dolan speaks, it's Armageddon. There's no sense talking hockey anymore.
Oh, okay. It's been clarified. It's the hockey card show. Yes, I'll be doing one soon. We'll do that again. That was a lot of fun. Now, what was the question about? It was about Nashville, the game last night, and what was
it? Had you ever seen that call on an empty net penalty shot situation? Had you ever seen that call before, where it's just a goal?
Yes, I've seen it. I've very rarely seen it. Did you think it was justified? I mean, there was a hook there.
Yeah, I thought it was justified. Well, the reason why I ask is because, you know, I was on Twitter last night during the game, and myself, and it had to be at least 50 people, all tweeted at the same time, 30 years of watching hockey, 40 years of watching hockey, 20 years, however many years, I've never seen that happen before. Some people didn't even know that was the call. I mean, it makes sense, but I had never seen that called. Never.
Yeah, I've seen it where guys have thrown their stick, where they've thrown their stick in order to not let the empty net goal go in. It's been called a goal rather than a penalty. It's just called an automatic goal. I've seen all kinds of – listen, nobody, those people, what do they know? Twitter twatter newbies? They don't know. They haven't been watching hockey. I got hours and hours of footage from years ago.
Ixnay. A lot of them were loyal listeners. Ixnay, get on.
All right. Well, they got to learn them some brains then. I'll learn you some brains.
I guess it
right
goes
here
for me too.
Well, everybody, I'm coming down from the mount now, like Dolan.
Yeah, look at you, talking to the masses.
You will come over to my house, we'll watch some old videos, and I'll show you examples. How about that? I'm here to educate. I was very surprised, while we're talking about Nashville, how Tortorella was very positive about this game. I was not as positive about that victory. I know when you win 3-0, how could it be nothing but positive? Nashville's a good team. They're up there in the Western Conference. This is not a team that can be taken lightly. They actually have been scoring goals this year. I'll give you that. They faced the backup goaltender in Lindback, who's no Pecorini. I thought Mitchell's goal was kind of soft, I thought. I mean, Dan Girardi scored. I mean, you know, we're not talking like, the snipers of the league here. I thought the third period, they had him down in complete lockdown in the last 6-7 minutes. Very impressive. didn't generate much shots in the third. The ice was horrible at the Garden last night.
Yeah.
Terrible.
40 years they're playing in that building. They still can't figure out how to make ice.
Figure it out.
40 years.
You can't blame the weather. It's friggin' cold. I don't get it. They should fire whoever's in charge of that ice. Probably save his grandson. Nepotism running wild over there.
And I know they, you know, they got the Knicks, they got a lot of events, but so does every other arena. So does, yeah, Howie's right, it's almost 45 years. Almost every arena that a hockey team plays in has as many, or maybe not as many, but has a lot of events going on. But in Philly, sure, they got concerts. They got a basketball team that plays there. D.C., they got concerts. They got a basketball team that plays there.
Yeah, so. You're right. And Wazzilli makes a good point. And the lights look like they're half off half the time. What the hell? Pay your light bill.
It's the world's most famous arena with the world's shittiest ice.
World's dimmest arena.
So.
Play shadow puppets. Up in the stands. Ice always sucks there. Fix it. What's that guy who said? Fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
See?
So my point was here that I thought the Rangers played good enough to win, but I was looking at, listen, Hank played another unbelievable game. He saved their ass last night again. And I have to say, you know, Rock called in on Monday and said, you know, Rangers are winning games, but they're really being bailed out by Hank and not, you know, Richards is not scoring, Gabarek. Not scoring. A lot of guys who are slumping here. You know, I love getting the 2 points. Listen, that's the bottom line. You know? But and they do play hard. I'm not taking that away. But I'm very worried. I think I have a theory why the power play is atrocious. There you go. I think I have a theory, but I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's really, I don't know, maybe when I tell you guys, maybe you can say yay, nay, or, you know, listen, you're out of your mind, Eddie. But
lay it on me.
Well, I got the whole Rangers offense. Let's look at the Rangers offense and how they could conduct themselves offensively as a team 5-on-5. They all go into the deep forecheck mode, immediately turn their back to the net and the goalie, whether it's along the boards or behind the net. So you have to picture this. Stepan's got the puck. He's behind the net. He now has his back to the net, has the puck. He's then now going to try to pass it to a guy either on either side of him that's also standing there waiting for him to get the puck. Is also going to be, when he receives the puck, back to the goalie facing the boards. And this is how the Rangers, and they try to work the puck back to the point, maybe get a shot, maybe a deflection. The Rangers offensively never push forward for scoring opportunities. Now, odd man breaks, of course they're pushing forward. They're not a, like, puck-carrying team into the zone or let's rush. We'll just go on somewhat of a straight or a diagonal line towards the net. If you can see me here on the video, I'm actually doing the hand motions. Everything comes off the forecheck. I think when they then have a power play where you have the extra man, they are so used to approaching offense through the forecheck that they have a horrible time in transition, in becoming a more, how can I put this, skilled or a finesse or a more attack-oriented team, rather than let's wind the puck around the boards, let's get it to that guy, let's watch the pond, give it to this guy, and then this guy buckles all the way around, and you know, this is, we've seen this over and over again. And so I think it's carried over to the power play. That's my only, because I've been trying to figure this out for years. I mean, you know, I think maybe that's the problem. I guess, a lot, you know, we'll get to this too, is people think that we need a power play quarterback. We need Rick Nash. We need James Neal. I still don't buy the Rangers don't have enough talent right now to be a top 15 power play unit. I don't know. Again, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you guys think about this. I don't have the answers. I'm just trying to figure it out like the rest of you guys. So what do you think?
They moved the puck well. Well, you know, normally I would say they don't shoot enough. But last night they were shooting from everywhere. It was bombs away last night.
Yeah.
Stroman, Delzato, everybody was shooting. I don't know how much time. I don't know how much power play time Anton Stroman's getting. What did we call him the other night? Don't squeeze the Stroman.
Yeah, Mr. Whipple.
But he should definitely be getting power play minutes every game. He should be first power on the first power play because he's the only guy that shoots. He's the only guy that gets out to the point and shoots the puck from the point. And he's got a good shot. It's fairly accurate. It's a hell of a lot more accurate than some of the other guys shooting from the point. Delzato doesn't shoot from the point enough, but a lot of his shots go left, they go right.
Yeah.
A lot of broken glass when Delzato shoots the puck.
A lot of low bridge with him. Hey, everybody hit the deck. You don't know where this thing's going.
Yeah. But I think Stroman should be out on the power play all the time. You know, as much as possible. Because he does shoot the puck. He shoots the puck, Barry. He shoots the puck.
I never thought I'd see you utter those words.
Anton Stroman on the power play?
At all times, as much as possible.
So, hey. I think that's part of the problem. Nobody goes to the front of the net. You know, Boyle, God bless him, Franken Boyle, he goes and stands, when he's out there on the power play, which makes no sense to me anyway, when you're trying to score, I just don't see what the point is putting him out there. But he goes right off the post. Watch him sometimes. I don't know how closely you watch
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I know.
But I watch him very closely. I study Brian Boyle, Franken Boyle. He'll stand to the side of the net where he's of no use to anybody. It's like, oh, my God.
Well, you know.
Frank Boyle. But, let me, hold on. As long as I'm on my Boyle soapbox here. His forechecking was very good last night.
Played great last night.
Played very well last night. Him and Prust, they had Fedotenko back with them. They played very well. Doing what they do. But I think you said this the other night. He has no business being in any offensive opportunity ever. He's terrible offensively. Terrible.
Awful.
And he's not much of a thinker.
He's not much of a thinker, and he's not much of a finisher. He is a guy that he's balls out. I mean, he's balls out defensively. He's blocking shots. He had like 6 or 7 hits last night on a power play. Every offensive chance, I cringe. I know it's not going in when Boyle has it. I just know it. He just doesn't have – I don't know what happened last year, but I know whatever happened, it's gone. And it's funny. A lot of times his line does look like the best out there, which worries me. But he's just not going to put the puck.
Somebody in the chat room, I would appreciate if somebody would do a little quick stat research for me if they could. Can somebody tell me how many of Boyle's mythical 20 goals last year were empty netters? Did he have any empty netters last year? 19 maybe? His goals exist only in legend now. They're like the Hobbit. Like Rumpel, his goals are like Rumpelstiltskin. Beetlejuice.
He takes poor quality tests. But, you know, instead of getting on Brian Boyle, who, you know, tangibly I could see him, you know, playing, well, what are we going to do with Richards? Bluto, the Ranger fan, is getting a little rumbled, getting a little bit upset about Richards. They're starting to call him Richie Rich now. You hear this, Jim?
No, I didn't.
Oh, Richie Rich. That's their new name.
Richie Rich. I'm not getting on. You know what? I was ready to get his face-offs. I don't know what his face. I think his face-offs have been better the last couple of games. But he went through about a two-week stretch over the holidays where his face-offs were terrible. I mean, he was like Boyle last year with his face-offs. But I think they've been better of late. I'm not ready to get on him yet. Not yet. Not yet. There's a couple other guys. I'm not ready to get on him yet.
I think a lot of guys are struggling offensively, not just him.
Yeah.
Now, it could be just a period of the season where guys just, they're slumping, but they're still winning. Could be, you know, if you're only looking from a positive side of you, they're still putting together wins. Teams go through slumps. Not many teams have, I don't think any teams have had the winning streaks the Rangers have had this year. Four to five wins, four different times? It's hard to do in this NHL.
Yes,
so
it is.
So they're finding ways to win, which is good. And Nashville was no slouch. But they're not as convincing to me. Now, the Garden, and this is another thing about last night's game, the Garden was so jazzed. You know the Rangers are playing well when they play Nashville and the fans are... they're up. And, which is a good thing, of course. Still way too many Potvin sucks chants compared to let's go Ranger chants. Just my opinion, folks. Well documented.
Oh, yeah, they heard it a couple of times. Right after Ranger scored a goal last night. I'm like, why? Oh, you know what was one thing I wanted to say about Brad Richards from 24/7 that I forgot to mention the other night? Seems to me that Brad Richards is a great guy in the locker room and great teammate. They all love him, but he comes off as having zero interest in talking to the media or anything like that. Seems like he's a real fun guy when the cameras aren't on, but when he's almost Drury like when he's being interviewed. Did you notice that?
No, he does seem a little bit, how do I want to say, when the camera's on, a little bit surly.
Yeah, he just doesn't want to be caught.
He's not friendly. The camera's not his friend. I'm sure with the guys, he's fantastic, you know, but listen, not everybody's meant to be, you know, camera friendly. Maybe he's like Steve Carlton was with the Philly. Well.
So what are you saying? What are you saying? Brad Richards is going to blame everything on the Jews?
Is that what Steve Carlton did?
I don't know. 10, 15 years ago, he gave an interview and just completely blasted Jewish people and blamed everything. It was a whole thing. Anyway, we're off topic.
Bucky Beaver's got to get his affairs on order, you know. But like Rock said in the chat room, who's he playing with, Brad Richards? He's getting second line minutes. Who's he playing with? And I'm so glad they finally moved Hagelin up. Thank the Lord. I called for it. We all called for it. We're all intelligent Ranger fans here, except Newman's here or Robbie. But the kid is an energizer. This is the cue to get ready for the clip. The guy is a spark plug. Maybe I should look for the clip instead of ordering you to do it on the fly. And he's a spark plug. Even John Tortorella thinks so. Isn't that right? Am I looking for this thing? I guess so.
I thought you were.
Oh, I wasn't. But now I am.
So
hallelujah.
If your lips are wet and ready to go, hold on. Instigator Hockey.
Fun.
I, 8:30.
Yeah,
got
that's
it.
Right. Well, okay. Boy, they, so even John Tortorella thinks that the Carl Hagelin move has been, he's been energetic.
Yeah, yeah, and I thought, you know, I put him on lines, and he ignites lines with his speed, and it's just dog on a bone mentality as far as chasing down pucks. So he played really good the other night playing on a different line with Boyle, and I bounced him all over the place. But Steps line, and I thought all lines contributed tonight, but Steps line for a good majority of the game played really well.
So there you have it.
There you go. I mean, it took him that long to realize it.
How long has he been up with the team? 3 months?
Yeah. I mean, the kid's got 14 points in like 26 games. It's pretty good.
Genius takes time.
Yeah, I know. You got to work your way up in this juggernaut. The Rangers, the best team in the NHL. I don't care what anyone says. Everybody's fearing Boston. Where was your Boston last night? They lost to Tampa.
Where's your Boston now, see?
Where's your Boston now? Where's
your
Messiah now?
Where's your Tim Thomas now, see?
Your Brad Martian.
See? Where's Chara now, see?
Where's your Lucic now? Muggy.
So got the Penguins tomorrow night at the Garden, right? I think that game's at the Garden. They're at home tomorrow night. And then the well prepared.
I don't know. I haven't figured that yet. They're home.
Yeah, I think they're home tomorrow night, and then they got the big game against the Bruins on Saturday.
Yeah, that's going to be a big test.
Getting together with the Arizona contingent for that one. I'm having a big week party at the Hooters.
Oh, nice.
Nothing but class.
I fear the Bruins. I may have to take 6 Xanax to get through that game because the Bruins are so big and scary. Look at that goal differential. look at it. They have... Look, they went 8-0. Who cares? Look at how it moves.
is the Boston game on NBC? Is that an NBC game or is that just on MSG?
It's a matinee affair. I don't know where that is.
I thought that game was on.
Look at Boston. How can we beat them? They got a cup last year. They have the credibility. Shut up.
NHL Network. Okay. It's on the NHL Network. Because I thought it was on NBC. And if it's not on a national channel, then not going to have much luck watching a game at a Hooters in Mesa, Arizona.
Rocco's reporting it's on MSG.
It's on MSG for you guys, NHL Network for everybody else, so that's fine. NHL Network, that's fine. So, getting together with the gang, and we'll be watching the game at Hooters, because the Buffalo Wild Wings, where we watched the playoff game, closed. I guess they... So we had to move it to Hooters.
That's just the whole Bruin thing drives me crazy.
75 Canadians, or is it the 77 Canadians?
Depending.
Greatest team
of all. Sagan. Oh, God. How would you beat the Bruins?
Oh, God, baby Jesus.
I don't fear nobody.
They're 6-4 in their last 10. So goddamn great about them. 6-4.
Yeah, they're so great. Marcy Braver, they're so great. Why don't you marry them?
Yeah, see?
Matt,
oh, you with your fancy Bruins coming off from Boston. What's wrong with you?
First of all, how do you even semi give accolades to anybody from Boston. Anyway.
All right.
So I got that out of the game.
Fuck them. That's what I say.
Oh, yeah, you always say that, and you're always right.
All right, so you want to talk about the Dolan thing? You want to get to the phones? What do you want to do? You want to get right?
Let's go to the phones. People are waiting to talk. I want to hear what they got to say about the Dolan thing before I go into my diatribe.
See, I said let's go to the phones, and two people hung up. Holding on the longest, 516-754. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who is this?
What's up, boys? It's Rock. How are you?
Hey, Rock. Rock always calls from a different number. I think he's afraid we're not going to take his call one of these days or something.
Well, it depends which phone is available at the present moment. Just wanted to apologize, Eddie. I've got to write hockey card in there. I know you guys do a hockey show, so I want to apologize. I have a few hockey card questions for you, so it's saving them for when you do the show. So
say you're sorry with sugar on it.
Was at the game last night. Great atmosphere. I'll tell you, usually those Nashville games are so boring. But it was great back and forth. It was typical Western Conference hockey game, you know, a lot of up and down the ice. And, you know, Lundqvist, he bailed him out. The thing with Richards, and I watched, I was really focusing on him last night just to kind of see he's trying to pass the puck too much now. I don't know if he looked at his assist totals and he's saying to himself, oh, I better start getting some assists going. He's not shooting the puck. A couple opportunities when he was in the high slot to shoot the puck, and he's trying to pass it off. I read today that they now are putting Brandon Prust on his wing. What the hell is Brandon Prust doing on Brad Richards' line ever?
He's been red hot.
Brandon Prust. Listen, he's great. Now, listen, I don't want to sell Brandon Prust short, but you're paying. Richards is a playmaker. And let's be honest, their only sniper is Gavrik, but you put Brandon Prust on the line with him? I don't get that.
So, Brad, we think you'd be very happy playing for the Rangers. What do you think? Well, Glenn, I'm very excited about the opportunity to come play with Marion Gabrick, and you got Callahan and Dubinsky, and you got these young guys, Derek Stepan. Well, that's great, Brad. Sign on the dotted line, and here's Brandon Prust, baby. Here's your new line mate.
Unbelievable.
Nothing against Prust. We're all Prust.
No, not at all.
But come on, it's Brandon Prust.
Prust does his role playing on the third or fourth line, and he does a great job of that. And now I'm not taking anything away from him, but you brought in a guy here to distribute the puck, to try to get some of these other guys scoring. And that goes against to my point that, you know, Brandon Dubinsky, I don't know what he is. Again, he's not a playmaker, and he's not a goal scorer. So we're still trying to figure him out 3 years later. That's why, in my opinion, I think in the long run, as we move closer to the deadline, they're gonna try to push themselves to get somebody else that could possibly put the puck in the net. And Captain kind of mentioned it in the chat room, and that was something I was thinking about today. They actually have Anisimov playing on the fourth line last night, which leads us to believe that maybe they're testing some of these other guys up.
Well, you had that ready quick. Because I went looking for it, and boom,
I knew where
right
he was going.
Anisimov.
You wonder if they're kind of showcasing other guys to play in those top two spots. That's classic. To see if they could possibly do that.
So you think Anisimov got a chance? He's being showcased, but since he's been relegated to fourth line, he may be going. I think it's typical Tortorella trying to get Anisimov. Trying to get him started again. I mean, I don't think it's a trade thing. You know, this is a big thing in the Ranger fan community, whether to make a trade or not, to maybe get that score that we need, or just wait another year. I mean, we got Brad Richards locked up for 9 years. Do we have to go out and get him somebody this year?
No, I'm not saying
we should do it or not. I'm just saying some people think that. Some people think, listen, the Rangers are in the hunt now. Let's go out and get somebody. We've got some players to deal, so let's do it.
Well, I just said, and I said it on last show, and I'm just, I just look at the Eastern Conference in general, and the team's playing great, but I think they could play better. I think they could score a few more goals. I mean, we were scoring 3 goals with consistency, I would say, the first 2 months of the season. Last month, December into January, the elusive third goal has been a little bit more evasive. I just feel if you look at the Eastern Conference and whatever, with Crosby, with the Pittsburgh Penguins banged up the way they are, with the Devils not really knowing what they are, they're beatable. Really, there's really nobody in the Eastern Conference I don't think the Rangers could beat. So this may be the opportune year, but again, I'm not saying the mortgage the future, so let me reiterate that. But this may be the year that this team could make a far run. I just want, and we see Seder's track record of trade deadline. It hasn't been good, with the exception of Nick Antropov. He hasn't made great trade deadline deals. He needs to find a way to possibly set this team up to, you know, set themselves up to make a run this year. Get them that one piece. And to me, their defense is fine. I mean, as much as I love Shea Weber and Ryan Suter, I don't see them being – that's not the type of person they need, though I would love to have them. You got nine – when Emminger and Sauer get healthy, you got 9 defensemen. Now, we all know Stu Bickel's going back to Hartford if he makes it through waivers, and Jeffrey Wick is not on the team. Where the battle's going to become is between Strowman and Emminger, and I don't know how you guys feel, and I wanted to bring this up also. Personally, Strowman, in my opinion, is less of an adventure on the ice than Steve Emminger. I mean, that's just my own opinion. I know we're grasping at straws.
I'd go along with that. I'd go along with that.
He's
also better offensively.
I think Emminger has kind of endeared himself to Torts. And not to say Strowman hasn't surprised Torts, but, you know, I think Tortorella's more of an Emminger guy at this point. But let's face it, he benched Emminger for the most of the second half of the last 30 games of last season. So he's not.
Yeah, for Matt Gilroy.
In favor of Matt Gilroy.
Hi,
so,
Matt Gilroy.
Yeah, I guess he's not in so solid either. It'll be interesting to shake how it shakes out. My problem, and everybody, you know, when we hear these names, and earlier it was Boomer and Carton, they had reported the Rangers were interested in Rick Nash.
Where did you hear that Rick Nash thing? Because I listened to Boomer and Carton, I mean, not the whole 3 hours they're on, but I heard that a lot rumbling through Twitter yesterday, and Did they divulge a source? I mean, did they?
I never actually heard the broadcast. This is what I read. You know, cause people were saying, "Where's the source? Where's the source?" And people pointed to them. So I can't actually corroborate that they said that on Boomer Carton. Maybe,
and you know, that may very well have just have been Boomer saying the Rangers need to go out and get a guy like Rick Nash, and from there it becomes, oh, the Rangers are going to get Rick Nash. Oh, did you hear Boomer and Carton said the Rangers are getting Rick Nash? And then, you know, it's just the old telephone game. You know, from there, it's then they start speculating on the trades. And then the next thing, you know, Dubinsky, Wojtyla, the next 3 first-round picks, Kreider and Cam Talbot, are all going to Columbus for Rick Nash, you know.
Captain is reporting in the
chat room that Rick Nash will not be a Ranger because of his bad contract. In a related story, Rick Nash will be a Ranger.
Exactly.
Where are they going to get this money? They don't have any cap room to get these guys. So why?
What's money? Come on.
They're actually set up pretty nice next year, salary cap wise.
What's Nash's contract? I'm going to look this up.
7.8 million cap hit. I want to say for the next 4 years.
I'm going to cap. I'm going to make this deal happen right now. While you talk to Rock, I'll work this deal.
7.8.
What
are we gonna put that guy? What are we gonna drop Lundqvist?
I'm not saying to get him. Do we want scoring or don't we? I'm not saying to get him, but the Rangers have set themselves up salary cap wise over the next 3 years, where they're not like Philly and some of the other teams that are bombarded with ridiculously bad contracts. They have Wolski coming off the books. Obviously, Avery's in Hartford, but They have they got to get Biron signed. They got to get Delzato signed. And if they decide to bring back Fedotenko and also Brandon Prust. But you're not talking big money. They have almost somewhere in the vicinity of $16 million. And all of their big guys, with the exception of Delzato, and I guess if you throw Biron in the equation, are not under contract for next year. Now, we know how Sather is with restricted free agents coming out of their entry-level contract. So Delzato is probably going to get somewhere in the vicinity of what Michael Sauer got this year, maybe a little bit more, maybe closer to $2 million. Other than that, they have about $16 million in cap space, which if they get those four guys signed, they still have somewhere in the vicinity of over $10 million in cap space. So from a cap space perspective, and strictly from that, they do have the money to go out and bring in another big contract. But I don't think you do that unless it's the right person. I don't know if Rick Nash is where – he's a great player. We've only seen him play in Columbus. I don't know if he – I mean, he's a great player. I don't know – $7.8 million for I don't know how long his contract is the right contract to add to this team going forward. I don't know. That's a tough call.
All right.
Yeah.
If I understand this right, the Rangers are about 1.2 million under the about almost 1.2 million cap space, right? Now, keep in mind, hypothetically speaking, if Columbus is going to trade Rick Nash, they're not going to trade him for nothing. They're not going to trade him for the Rangers garbage. They're going to want a player. You know, they're going to want somebody making a little less money, but somebody that can play at the NHL level. Okay. So you're probably talking about, people aren't going to want to hear this, but you're probably talking about at the very least, Brandon Dubinsky going the other way. And that's $4 million right there.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, whatever else you mix in, and then you move Volsky to the AHL. Right? He can go to the AHL, can't he? Weren't they talking about doing it? So there's another $4 million.
Hey. It's not as
Ranger fans are making it out to be like, you know, we're trying to build the pyramids here. It's not that difficult. Because you're not gonna trade him for just prospects and you know, maybe, you know, guys that may or may not excel at the, they're going to want at least one or two NHL ready players.
No, you're right. And if you look at their cap perspective going forward by the trade deadline, if they keep the lineup the way it is now, which it's going to go down because they have to get these guys off IR, which are capping against the cap, so they're going to have even more cap space. They're going to have about $5 million in free cap space without even moving a body by the time the trade deadline comes on the 27th. So that's $5 million there. You get rid of Wolski, you're already over $8 million in cap space.
Okay. So they have guys on IR, what, like Chad Kolarik, that's $1
million?
Just explain, I'm a little bit slow on the uptake. So if we get rid of Wolski, that's $4
million. $4 million!
All right.
Right.
That's $4 million. Now, but we got to trade him for somebody. Or do we retinize him and send him to Connecticut to die?
You could retinize him and just get rid of him. You could put him on waivers and someone might pick him up for the remainder of the season. Someone might just take a shot on him. You know, the
All
Islanders
right. so
might,
I got 4
you know,
million.
Somebody might do that.
All right. Who's these guys on IR you're talking about, Cap?
Well, let's be honest. Sauer's still counting against the cap. That's $1.2 million. Emminger's capping against the cap, that's $800,000. So there's $2 million right there. You're going to get rid of Bickle. One of them's going and Wicca. So you won't gain that much. You'll gain about another $1 million by getting rid of those two guys, Boy Wicca and Bickle.
Right.
They'll come off the cap. So you'll gain another $1 million right there with those two guys. So I'm just saying, you know, Rick Nash isn't it's not a pipe dream. It could happen. With, you know, from a salary cap perspective, it's not unthinkable. It's something that could happen.
Now,
whether or not
here's a question.
They're willing to give up on Dubinsky is another story.
So if we were to get rid of Dubinsky somehow and make a trade for Nash, then we would have the money to pay for Nash.
Exactly.
All right, I'm not saying
and
Nash.
$4 million
how about Zach Parise? How do you feel? People talking about Zach Parise. How do you feel about him? How do Ranger fans feel about Zach Parise? Does he have that devil taint, so to speak?
I don't, you know, it's funny. Zach Parise, I think he's a great player. I definitely take him. You know, for straight just for money and nothing more. And that might be a guy the Rangers, that might be a guy if they don't get a top six forward at the deadline this year and he goes to unrestricted free agency, he doesn't have to move very far, you know. And they may have the wherewithal to get him looking at their cap space going forward. You know, I don't know, Jimmy, I don't know how you feel. To me, I think it's a totally different animal with Parise than a lot of the other guys that have come through from the Devils.
How old is Parise now? He's
27, 28? 27. Maybe a little older. He's the same age as Getzlaf. They came out of the same draft.
Jay, I love you, but I don't necessarily get your argument because he's got no playoff experience. We don't want him.
We don't have anybody with playoff experience.
You guys in the chat room are talking about that he's gone flat. He scored 35 goals, 35 goals for one of the worst teams in hockey for the last 5 years. I should be so flat. I wish we had three flat guys like that. We'd have no problems.
I like that. I got to say, it's hard for me to admit that I like a devil, but I like Zach Parise. When he was on the USA team in the Olympics, I was, thank God I can root openly for this guy. I was out of the positive.
if you can get him for just money, I mean, in the offseason, it's a possibility. I don't know
all
what
right.
kind of money he's looking at, but I go for him. I mean, I hate the Devils probably more than the Islanders at this point, and the Islanders are so pathetic. But he's for just money. I definitely go after him.
Yeah.
Now,
same here.
Do these contracts count against the cap? Even though I don't know much, I'm not very cap savvy, and I don't know where you guys are at. But does the full amount count if he gets traded at the deadline, or does it?
It's
you know what
prorated.
I'm
it's kind uh-huh. of. Somewhat prorated the way the contract works. It goes by things like games played, or it's like a weird formula that they use. If you go on CapGeek, it kind of break it down for you. But it's from my knowledge, and I don't know if Jim, you may know better than me. It's the way it's prorated. So the Rangers by February 27th can take a full cap hit, So whatever it is. They can take a full cap hit of about $5 million. But as far as the money goes, like a team absorbing a contract, they're not absorbing the full cap hit. They're not absorbing the full salary. But the cap hit is a different thing.
Is any part of you say, listen, let's just keep status quo, dump some of the garbage, you know, like Wolski, get rid of that, and, you know, I mean, does any part of you just say, let's stand pat, let's not make anything crazy? Because let's face it, I get scared when we're going to start acquiring guys, big-ticket guys. Although, you know, he is the master of the obvious, this man. I talk about Glenn Sabin.
Well, I mean, if they can't go out and get a guy, a young player, you know, like someone like Bobby Ryan or, you know, Rick Nash or someone like that, I'd be more content with a rental guy that is trying to play for a contract, or a guy with a little bit of experience, you know, similar to, you know, I'm trying to think of a good example, but someone that who's a veteran with a little juice left in the tank, who's an unrestricted free agent, and you're getting him for maybe a low, you know, maybe a second round pick, third round pick, someone in that vicinity, who you're going to lose at the end of the season. I think they need to bring in somebody. I think to stay pat with the team the way it is now, I think the team needs a little bit of a jolt around the trade deadline to realize that their jobs aren't safe so that everyone else plays better. Again, I think they need to set themselves up. I think they need to do something. Do they need to go out and bring in that big player if he's not available? Do they need the mortgage future for that? No. But if they can go out and get themselves somebody that can give them a little bit of a jolt offensively, for not a heavy package or whatever, I think they should do all that route.
All right, Rock.
All right.
We got to move
thanks
you.
Thanks for your call.
All right, boys.
We're starting to run out of time. We'll talk to you next
time.
I'm sorry. All right? That's all right. Talk to you
later.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, let's move right. Let's say hello to Colin real quick, getting ready for his own show, but he's been waiting for a while. Colin, how are you, buddy?
I'm great, gentlemen. How are you tonight?
Good. Getting ready for icing for everyone tonight at 9:30?
We're starting at 9 o'clock, so we'll have a little bit of overlap. Unfortunately, I'll miss the last half hour of your show, which I'm actually kind of bummed about. But
Eddie, do you notice that this show his has gone from an hour to an hour and a half? Now it's 2 hours. Pretty soon it'll be a 4-hour extravagant. Pretty soon it'll be like the Super Bowl pregame show.
I'm hoping to do a full 24-hour marathon show, completely driven by coffee and cigarettes. And
the tuxedo, you'll sing "You'll Never Walk Alone" at the end, and
yeah, we're going to raise money for my jersey habit. So we're not going to be doing anything for any kids that need help. It's going to be just for my affinity for hockey jerseys.
Now, what's some of the big topics you're going to be discussing tonight?
Tonight, I decided since we're a little bit past the halfway mark, and it gives me an opportunity to talk about our beloved Rangers even more. I was going to break down the top five teams from each conference and kind of see how they're going to pan out for the remainder of this season and where we see them going. So it'll be a breakdown of 10 teams, and I think towards the latter part of it, I think I'm going to save the best for last, and that's going to be the Rangers. So if you guys want to call in and chime in on that, that would be awesome.
Well, definitely. If I still am in fine voice, I will call in, and I want to appreciate you for calling in. Get it?
I've got to know who goofed. Don't go blue shirts.
It's just insanity.
Love it. Gentlemen, you have a wonderful rest of your show, and thanks for having me on as always, and Bring your motley crew on over when you guys are done. We love having you aboard.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Colin.
All right, guys. Take care. Let's go Rangers.
Talk to you later. Absolutely.
All right.
The great Colin Cosell joining us. Icing for everyone coming up at 9. He's doing 12 hours show tonight. I don't know. He's the whole bit. It's a movie in 6 parts, like Nicholas Nickleby. Nope. Nobody will get that reference.
I do. I remember
you
that.
Did. You did. Five.
Channel 509, I remember being on.
Yeah.
Here in New York.
All right. So 646-478-4692 is the number if you want to call in. Let's go to holding the longest. Where are you? 914-907. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
It is Paul.
Hey, Paul.
What's going on, Jim? Eddie, how you doing?
Doing good, Paul. Saw you on the Facebook page. I don't know. Yeah, he had some things to say. Maybe you could say him here tonight on the show.
Well, I really don't understand why Jim Dolan has to open his big mouth, but, you know, I guess because he's that confident in the Rangers team that they can win a Stanley Cup in the very near future, you know, all power to him, but you know, I just think it's just still bad timing on his part. I mean, I just think, you know, John Tortorella is certainly approaching it the right way. He's won a Stanley Cup before. I know you guys, and I believe you had mentioned it earlier, that, you know, he knows what he's doing in terms of how to win a cup. You know, you take it one game at a time, you know, 1 month at a time. You know, you don't look too far ahead. And, you know, the Rangers have only proven this over 44 games. They've got 62 points over 44 games. That's great. You know, we're having a ball with this team. You know, they're playing very well. But they haven't proven anything yet when it really counts, and that's in the playoffs. And, you know, with the team that they've got, you know, they have to really have everything together at the same time. And I'm not talking about just at the level of the regular season, but they got to do it in the playoffs. You know, like regular season on steroids. They got to have offense going. They have to have the defense playing well. You got to have Henrik Lundqvist at the top of his game. You have to have everything going at the same time if they're going to win. And, you know, for James Dolan to say that they're a cup contender, you know, it's too soon. I mean, the Rangers struggled to get in the playoffs last year, even though they had some other players that are no longer on the team. You know, I want to see the entire season where they're at before I say, okay, they're a cup contender. And I think James Dolan I just totally don't agree with him, you know, saying it today after a game like last night.
Well, go ahead, Jim.
No, it's all right. Go ahead, Eddie.
No, you go. Yeah, I always go. You go.
Okay. I just want to say that I have seen excellent arguments on both sides of this debate. I really have.
Yeah. Okay.
And as usual, I agree with both sides. That way I'm right. That's the way I like it. I mean, I totally see what you're saying, Paul, and mm-hmm. I see what Critical, who's also Paul, I understand what he's saying. You know, I think Ranger fans, I think part of it is that, you know, Ranger fans, I think, are I don't know what the word is. Maybe neglected might be a word. They've seen this guy at courtside with the Knicks, and it's Knicks this, Knicks that, while the hockey team for a lot of years was in ruins, you know? And now all of a sudden, here he comes when they're winning, you know, and things are going well, and there he is in the locker room, and, oh, I really appreciate what Mr. Sather's done, and we've been – it's been this way since 2004. You know what I think bothered me more than anything? Because most of what he said sounded like, just to me, it was just all noise. Most of it was just, it was like the adults on Peanuts. You know, whatever. But what bothered me was that I really appreciate what Mr. Sather's done. But what about what about Tortorella? Because Tortorella deserves credit not only for how they're playing, but he's changed the entire culture of that locker room.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's changed the entire culture. And that is not an easy thing to do. When things are going bad and you've got bad seeds in the locker room and you've got, you know, it takes a long time to change the culture and the mindset. I've gone through it. I mean, not from a sports perspective, but I've been in offices and companies where the culture is bad. You have new people that come in and try and change it. It's not an easy thing to do. He deserves a ton of credit and got absolutely none from his owner. And I think that's half the reason why he basically stood up there and said, well, my owner's – it's all bullshit, you know?
Speaking of which, we have that clip, Tortorella's rebuttal – well, not a rebuttal, but his comment after Dolan said we're going to win the Stanley Cup. Here it is.
You know, we just have to go about our business. Like, I have my owner up here talking about a Stanley Cup. That's a bunch of bullshit. We're just going about it. We need to take one day at a time.
And they heard it. Tortorella knows the real deal. See, I take Dolan with a grain of salt. He's like my grandmother walking by the TV and seeing the record or see the Rangers playing well, go, you know, they could win the Stanley Cup there, Eddie. You know, like, what does he know about hockey? He knows nothing. He just knows they were on 24/7. They were on the Winter Classic. He got his dumb face on there. They won. He doesn't know anything. If he knew anything, he would have fired Sather years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now you're gonna you've lit the fuse, Paul Guiduzzi, so to speak. The thing that. The Dolan thing about the Stanley Cup wasn't the thing that got me all flamed in the tuchus. It was the fact that he said that Glenn came to him and said, listen, we are going to start a youth movement in 2004. 2004?
Is he out of his mind?
$4 million.
$4 million. I mean, 2004. Apparently, I haven't been aware of that youth movement while it was happening. Were you?
No. No. I certainly wasn't.
No, I was too busy watching Marty Straka and Martin Ruchinsky and...
And Michael Nylander being signed. That was the youth movement?
Yeah. The four-year deal, three-year contract for Michael Nylander.
Oh, boy.
I mean, that's when it started? I mean, give me a break. I mean, I know they got, you know, Callie and Doobie and Lundqvist, but those were far and few between. And we had Pruka, a smattering of Pruka one good year.
Dash
but other than that, it was Martin Rushinsky, Steve Ruchin, you know, Marek Malik. I mean, Darius Kasparaitis.
Aaron Jason Ward.
Frederick.
Aaron Ward.
At Tullin. Didn't he?
I mean,
God.
Was it here, Ranger?
Who?
Matt Cullen. Did he play?
Yeah, I think he was a Ranger.
He played for the Rangers 1 year, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I remember what season. It was like 3 or 4 years ago, at least. I just remember he played for the Rangers, then went back to Carolina, then he played for Minnesota, and that's where he's at now.
We all know. This is they're trying to revise history here. It's not the case.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
Until Gordy Clark came on the scene, and we were talking about this earlier, and I couldn't figure it out because Wikipedia is down. But wasn't Gordy Clark's first draft the Sharapanov draft, or was it the year after? I'll have to find that out. But
I'm sure
Gordy
somebody
Clark
in the chat room knows. You know what I think this is? I think it was telling, and you mentioned this at the top of the show when we played the clip, that about how Dolan said that that the PR guy asked him to come out and speak to the media. I think with the Rangers doing well, I think there's a little bit of a movement going on now that we're gonna get Glenn Sather his due and get him some good press and. I can't think of anything. You know, it just seems very convenient that all of a sudden, you know, you get this article in the Toronto Globe and Mail, and now Dolan's speaking to the media, and it's all nothing but praise for Glenn Sather. You know?
It's like conveniently we forget, you know, that, you know, the team was struggling to a point, you know, we all wanted him fired.
Oh.
It's like, what do we have? Short memories from less than a year, 2 years ago? I mean, seriously. I mean, don't get me wrong. This is a great 44 games so far this year. But, you know, putting Glenn Sather back on a pedestal, which he's untouchable, to criticism is wrong. I just don't like the fact that they're doing it this early. They still have to prove against the other elite teams in the league that they can beat those teams and at the most opportune times. I mean, I know you guys talked about the Bruins, okay? They haven't played them yet. That's going to be their biggest test because the Bruins are, as much as, you know, we don't want to admit to that sometimes, they've got a more complete hockey team.
Here we go.
No, Teddy, seriously, when you think about
I'm being serious.
Right, but what
I'm saying
is
I don't fear the Bruins. The Rangers, if they come to play the way they played for the first 44 games, all I can judge them on, can beat any team in the league. They just can. They have the better goaltender. I think they have the better all-around defense. Yeah, they don't have some of the goal scoring that the all-around goal scoring that a lot of guys could put the puck in the net for Boston. And they are the defending cup champions. There's no, I respect them. I think they're a tough team. I think they'll be a tough team to beat. But I'm not fearing them like a lot of people are saying that it's an impossible, like, there's such a big
Well, no, I don't think I'm saying it's impossible, Eddie. I'm just saying that the Rangers still have to play a team like Boston and a few other teams that are up near the top or have been near the top in the last 2, maybe 3 years that have had more established teams that have that have played at the level that the Rangers are playing right now.
Please
and if the Rangers can
Boston
win those games, they can say, okay, we're a cup-contending hockey team.
I agree. I agree with you on both points. I agree that they have to play Boston and use them as a measuring stick to where they are. And I also believe that in order to make a correct assessment of how good this Ranger team is, the season has to be played out. We cannot... You know, but I just know from what I've seen people say, well, wait till we play the Washingtons. Wait, well, we did lose to Washington. But wait till we play these teams. Then we're going to start seeing, and then we beat those teams. And we continually beat these teams. I don't, I, 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 I agree with you. Let's not get too crazy here. It's half the season. But go ahead.
All right. Well, Paul, we're going to take some other calls, but thanks for calling in, and
no
we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Take it easy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Now, before we take one more call, I got a question about Boston, and then we can move on. How come last year, when Boston made that great run to the Cup and won the Cup, what was every Ranger fan saying? Could have been us. We're as good as them, right? Isn't that what Ranger fans were saying? That could have been us. We're just as good as them. We match up well with Boston. We got a hot goaltender the whole bit. Now, all of a sudden, we can't compete with them. I don't
know. We'll
find out on Saturday how close we are.
Marcy Brand was trying to bait me into this stupid argument about now we can't use a regular season game as a measuring stick. All right, let's not play that. No.
But?
What is that? If we lose, guess who's going to be using it as a measuring stick? You and every other Ranger fan who wants to idolize and bounce
plus
the altar of the Bruin.
It's plus minus. If we win, means nothing. It's no measuring stick.
Right.
If we lose, devastation. Trade everybody. Out comes Bluto. Fuck this team. Fuck John Tortorella. Fuck Sander. Fuck Dolan. I'm selling my tickets. Get me out of this Facebook group. I've had it with all of you. I'm tired of this bullshit. I can't watch this team anymore. I'm canceling MSG. I'm going to get Time Warner Cable just so that I don't have fucking MSG because I fucking hate the Dolans. I hate this team. I hate Tortorella. Fuck 24/7. I'm selling my on eBay.
Oh, John Mitchell. Let's move him over. They have Lucic. We have John Mitchell. How are we going to compete? Oh.
Shut up. There's only one altar you pray to, and that's the New York Rangers shield. Don't you ever back another
Shut up!
Even if it's fact-based. I don't want to hear your arguments. This is a program where every argument is emotionally shaped. We don't deal with facts here. Come on.
Never let the facts get in the way of ranting, dreaming, passion. None of it.
Shut up.
Feel better. We've had our Bluto moment. I feel better.
Love the Bluto rants.
All right.
What else we got?
Where were we? Back to the phones?
Yeah, let's go back. I love the people.
All right. Dan the Man, love it, Dan. Oh! Making another call. That's Sather calling in right now.
Hey,
hello.
How's it going, guys? How you doing?
Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
Got to take that other call?
All right. Nah. It's just...
Got the wife calling
in? Nah, it's just a bat phone. No big deal. Anyway, Muggsy, Knuckles, I'll tell you. you know, we can compete against the Bruins. They've done it before. They've beaten them before. Why? Because Lucic looks a little meaner? Because Chara looks a little taller? Is that what it is? Because Thomas, his pads are bigger? Shh, that's the real reason. Don't spread it around.
That's awesome.
But, you know, fellas, I'm not jumping off the bridge here. I'm not jumping off the top of the garden, man. I mean, this is a team that's playing very well. I understand the typical problems are the typical problems. Where is the secondary scoring? How come they haven't scored all of a sudden? What's wrong with Gavrik? What's wrong with Richard? You know, the guys have, like any other hockey player has, slumps. It's
like
only
any
February.
Other, like any sport.
Back.
Like any sport.
Right. Exactly. Like any sport. You're going to see Alex Rodriguez having, you know, a prolonged slump for like maybe 15, 20 games. You're going to see probably, so I'm trying to think of a Met pitcher, because I know you're a Met fan, Jimmy, but unfortunately no great Met pitcher comes to mind. Sorry.
Get off baseball. This gets Robbie blown up.
Okay, fine. But honestly, everyone is, it's like this, like you keep saying, Jimmy, everyone's jumping off the bandwagon all of a sudden. There's not really much of a bandwagon. It's like, Rocco really depressed me. I'm listening to him, and I'm like, oh, my God, no, please. don't kill it. Don't kill this great feeling I got for this Ranger team. And he did it. And it's like, we got to calm them down, boys. We got to calm everyone down.
Agreed.
You know, I just find it odd that finally we have something to brag about and to be proud of as Ranger fans. And I can't, I'm not allowed to dream. I'm not allowed to dream, Dan. I'm not allowed to think that the Rangers may be the best team in hockey. I'm sorry. I am not. I just feel the Rangers. I mean, listen, I don't watch every Bruin game. But, I mean, people are splooging every time they win 6-0. Fine. You know what? Just, and I'm not, this is not an anti-Yankee thing, because I'm, you know, I am a Met fan, but, you know, that I do that as clandestine as I do almost as much as rooting for Zach Parise.
Yeah, except for the Met parka he wore to the viewing party.
I got for free, that's why. Go on. But the thing is that you can shoot your proverbial wad in the regular season all you want. You can. I mean, we've seen the Yankees win 14-2. I know this is. I might get blown up for this baseball stuff.
Yeah,
but when
sure
it comes
right.
playoffs, when it comes playoff times, and the playoff time, and which they did show last year, the Boston Bruins, tremendous amount of credit for what they did. They're the Stanley Cup champions. They're champions of somebody beats. But this is a whole different animal in the New York Rangers. I'm going to go on the record
Damn
now. I'm totally
straight.
On the record. The Rangers are not going to lose 7-0 to the Boston Bruins. It's just
no.
not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Eddie, you, Jimmy, and me, we're like the old school Ranger fans. We're not going to worry about what could happen till the trading deadline. Why even worry about the trading deadline right now? Right now, this team is in first place, not just in the division, not just the entire East, the entire fucking National Hockey League. And until they go on a profound slump, okay, then we can talk about trade deadlines. Until that day comes, bring over the Penguins. I could care less if Crosby's there or not. I don't care if Malkin had that freaking hat trick explosion in Tampa. He's nothing without little Sidney or little Cindy. And let's go to Boston. Let's show these bastards what the New York Rangers are really made of.
Bastards.
Marcy just called you a yutz in the chat room.
Hi, Marcy.
Go get him.
You too.
You'll get her, Dan. All right, thanks for calling
that,
Dan.
No problem at all. Enjoy the rest of the night. But seriously, guys, I'm sick and tired of the what-ifs. I'm sick and tired of, oh, look at the big bad Bruins. Forget them. Let them shake in their own skates when the blue shirts go to Boston and go and kick their ass.
Exactly. Very good.
All right,
job.
Dan.
I don't want to hit more up.
Take it easy, fellas.
Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
I mean,
bye-bye.
You know, I think Pittsburgh will get better once they get Letang back, finally. I mean, yeah, they're going to be a good team. They're well-coached. But, you know, the Rangers got something special here. I mean, again, it's only through 44 games, but I tend to think I guess I won't go down that road if we get another call. I tend to think that there are certain. It does, in a way, get easier at times for the Rangers in the way they play in the second half. And I'll get that to another time because I'm sure people will totally disagree with me with that. So we'll get to more callers.
Chandler, what's going on?
Give me one sec. How you doing? Sorry about that. I was in the middle of working and trying to get the Bluetooth going and everything else.
No problem. Don't we'd have to go to the intermission?
You'll find our snack bar chock full of good things to eat and drink.
We were going to take an intermission there.
There you go.
So what's going on, Chandler?
I don't know. I missed some of it because I was in and out trying to get the, you know, pick up the girlfriend and get in the house. So I'm not quite sure. You know, we got the whole Boston thing going, which I've already said what I got to say about Boston. you know, the Dolan thing, I think is hilarious. This guy hasn't spoken to the media in, what, 20 years? And he wants to come out and take credit and give Sander all this credit. Like, Glenn Sander was the only person in the room that said, no, we should go with you. And nobody listened to him because he was just a Hall of Fame GM even when he came here. But nobody listened to him because, you know, what the hell did he know? I mean, are they kidding me with this nonsense with Sander now? Where did all of this come from with Sander?
I think they're just trying to revise history. They feel like we've been asleep in some kind of coma, and now we've woken up, and Sather's done this masterful job after 10 or so years in bringing us youth. Didn't they think we were watching and following this team's every move since 2004?
That's what I don't understand. I mean, all of a sudden now, Glenn Sather's the greatest GM in the history of ice hockey, really? I mean, we're so last year, the year before that, and year before that, and year before that, and year before that, Dolan had nothing to say because of what? You know, I don't get it. I really don't. I loved the game the other night against Nashville. That was a really good game. That was a great game. You know, and what everyone keeps saying, or I see a lot where people say, oh, we need more scoring. We don't have no secondary scoring. If you look at the goal totals on this team, it's spread across the board. Everybody scored. At some point in time or other, everybody scored. Gabby was carrying us, what, the first month and a half of the season? And since then, everybody else has stepped up at certain times. We're winning games without Gabby scoring every game. We're winning games without – Brad Richards can disappear for four games and we still win 3 out of 4. Gabbert can disappear for 5 games. We still win 5 in a row. Nabinski didn't score for God knows how long. We were still winning. You know, I mean – Anisimov, when's the last time he scored a goal, but we're still winning? So to say that we don't have secondary scoring, well, then how are we winning? We're not winning 1-0. You know, we're winning games 3-0, 4-1. So if nobody else is scoring, how are we winning the games?
Well, I think, listen, the Rangers put in a great effort on 99% of the, you know, 95% of the night. So that's one reason they're winning. So what you're saying is do you feel the need to go out and get another guy for scoring? Are you saying, hey, listen, we're winning now. Let's not try to bring somebody new in here. If it ain't broke, let's not fix it.
If we could get a guy where we're buying low who will fit the system that the team is playing, who won't kill us and we don't have to mortgage a farm for, absolutely. If it takes mortgaging the farm and giving up half the team for a Bobby Ryan, then no, I'm not for it. You know, if we can get somebody that will come in here and compliment the team, the compliment we have as the scoring, without us giving up half the team, plus some draft picks, plus next year's draft picks, you know, I mean, Ron Gresham pissed me off. Ron Gresham, of course, you know, made me really screw up at work the other day because I'm doing damn Facebook talking about we're getting Rick Nash. Where the hell is this coming from? And I'm not paying attention to what the hell I'm doing. You know, I'm serious. Next time I'm saying, I'll punch him in the fucking face. Are you kidding me?
Taylor was following Greshner on Facebook, and we accidentally went to DEFCON 4.
Oh, my God. I'm like, Nick Nash, what the hell is this? What are you doing? Is this a role? What's going on? I said, hey, dude, what the hell are you doing? You got to pay attention to work. I can't pay attention to work. It might be Rick Nash. I lost my fucking mind.
I'm fighting with fucking Ron Greshner over here. Who the hell is Ron Greshner?
You know, if we can get somebody, that's great. But right now, I think some of these guys will come around. But, you know, I'm an eternal optimist. I always think the guys are going to score even when they don't.
You know, but the guys go into slumps. The guys, this is what happens.
We're winning. And that's not to say we can't get better. We should always be looking to improve. I'm not saying that, but who can we reasonably get if we actually make a decent trade? You know, if we make a real trade, not the fan trade where we give them a bag of pucks and Wade Redden. I mean a real trade. You know, a real trade that somebody who wants to keep his job as a general manager of an NHL team would make. Who the hell can we really get without mortgaging the team? Let's be honest. We have to give up a bunch of stuff to get somebody that everybody says is going to be that guy to come here and score goals. And not for nothing, we were trying to get that guy to come in here and score goals for how many years? And every time that guy comes in, he doesn't score. I've been trying to get that guy since all my life.
It's true. I mean, yeah, a lot of it, you know. I'm torn. I'm really torn because, I mean, some part of me says, listen, the Rangers got an opportunity to really make some noise in the playoffs this year, and wouldn't it be nice if they, and you know, if you figure out the cap situation, if Volsky, whatever they do with Volsky, that's $4 million, you know, so various other guys, you can start to fit these guys in if you trade a couple of guys. And maybe, I hate to bring back Bobby Ryan's name, but he was he's a guy out of all of them because of his age.
Right.
But, again, I'm with you. I don't want to mortgage the future.
The guy, everybody keeps saying Ray Whitney, and the guy I keep thinking of when they say Ray Whitney, who's about the same age, will bring the same type of mental toughness, playoff tested, and the guy who scores big goals, is John Madden. And we could have had him because he was just sitting out there.
Oh, that John Madden, sorry.
Yeah, we could have had him, but he was just sitting out there because everybody says Ray Whitney, Madden and Whitney, six of one, half a dozen of the other. Ray Whitney's going to score a little bit more, but Madden is a good player, playoff tested. He's going to bring something to the room. He's a, oh my God, on faceoffs, he's a fucking monster. He's great on a penalty kill. He's great on a power play. I know he's 38, but he still plays like he's about 35, 34. You know, that's a guy we could have had. Instead, he's somebody else signed him. So, I mean, Whitney, sure, if we could bring in Whitney, but now who are we getting rid of and who's sitting? Because Mitchell's played well. I know a lot of people don't like Mitchell. Mitchell's played well. Hagelin has played well. Dubinsky, for all of his not scoring, has done what's been asked of him, which is play defense, play good positional defense, be responsible, don't turn the puck over, play hard, hit people. He's done everything that's been asked of him by the coach. You know, so have all the other guys. They've done everything that's been asked of them except, of course, score because they can't hit the fucking net to save their lives. But, so, you know, where are we fitting the guy in at? Where's he going to play?
Well, there's always room. You could get rid of a John Mitchell. There's plenty of guys that they could.
I don't know. There's something about this team. I like it the way it is, and I know that's the fan in me talking right now. It really is. I like this team. I like it just the way it is, and, you know, it's that thing. I really don't want to change it. I want to see what this group of guys can do. I want to see what they can do. I think they can do something really special. I have no basis in fact for that other than the fact that I'm a fan. No basis
they
in
also,
fact at all.
You can tell. You could tell by 24/7 and what happened with. They have great chemistry. How many Ranger teams have really good chemistry we can name? One.
It's been a long time.
That's what I love about this Ranger team is the chemistry.
So, I don't know, but I like this group. I'd love to see what they can do if we leave them alone. But at the same time, to be honest, do we need somebody? Yeah, we really do. Yeah, we really do. So what do you do? I don't know. I know. Shit.
Well, Chandler, try not to. I heard that Ron Greshner's source of that Rick Nash trade was Jack Daniels.
Yeah, I saw that was funny as hell.
Jim Beam. All right, Chandler, we'll talk to you next time, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
Thanks for calling
in. Take care, bro.
All right.
Always fun talking to Chandler.
It is. All right, just about 6 minutes to go before we wrap up another stellar broadcast.
Very good.
We have one more phone call on the line. If you guys want to get in, there's still time. 646-478-4692. And now, without further ado, let's welcome to the program the one, the only, the incomparable Marcy Braverman.
Hello.
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 Hello. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Okay, so just because I happen to think that Boston is a better team does not mean that I'm not a legitimate fan and that I don't love this team.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. You're not a real fan. Sell your tickets.
Uh-oh. Pluto is coming out.
Eddie and I have had a few debates about this, but I love this team. I really do. And I do agree that I haven't seen a team like this Rangers team in a very, very, very long time. But I also get very skeptical because of what the past has shown us. And because when you really look at them on paper, despite how they've been performing, they really aren't that good on paper. I think that it's essentially 2.5 lines comprised of role players and depth players and not enough actual elite talent. And I think that while the ride is great now, we're going to see that difference come April. Because an isolated game in the regular season is different than a continuous best out of seven series.
I agree with you. You know, certainly I never meant to quit. First of all, it makes for good radio if I go crazy and say you're a Boston fan and who are you going to root for now. There's no doubting your allegiance and your love for this team. It goes generations deep.
I fucking hate Boston, but I look at their team and they're like what the Rangers wish they could be. And I know that sounds bad, but I really think it's the truth. They're us, but better. And I think that we have a better chance against a team like Boston than a team like Pittsburgh because we play the same exact style of games that they do. So I think, whereas Pittsburgh, I don't know if we have the roster capability to really compete with a healthy Pittsburgh team, whereas with Boston, we can play that same style of game. And I think we have a better chance against them than we do against Pittsburgh. And it'll be a great series and a great game. But, you know,
I can see your point as far as that. My thing is that the Boston Bruins has not seen the likes of a team like the New York Rangers when they're playing their best game. I just think that the Rangers, I'm as skeptical as you are.
I am so freaking scared because, like, this is amazing. And we haven't seen this in so long. And I'm just waiting for the – I know it's terrible, but I'm just waiting for the axe to fall. And it hasn't fallen yet. And it's like, oh, my God, are we really this legit? Like, this doesn't make any sense. But
and especially, like you said, when you look at the team on paper,
they're not that good. And they're not – right. And they're not having blowout games. We're going into some overtimes. We're winning by – I mean, we're not really scoring more than 2 or 3 goals a game. And I just feel like, oh, my God, like, what if Hank gets injured or he has a bad couple of games or a bad string of games? Like, I don't know.
I think it's a good place to be worried at the top.
Right.
I mean, you know, we've had teams that, you know, as well as I did, that looked good on paper in previous years and done nothing on the ice. So, and also, I hate to say this because, I bashed Tortorella for a couple years there and was not a fan. But really, I don't think there's not many better coaches in the league than this guy.
They are where they are because of him, because of the lines and the chemistry that he's created. Like, I attribute a lot of their success to John Tortorella. I do.
He's, like I said before, Marcy, I don't know if you were here when I said it. He's changed the culture.
Oh, he's changed just the mindset, the confidence. I mean, these guys believe in themselves. They really do, and you see that. And it's really amazing to watch. You saw it on 24/7. You see it on the ice. You see it against our division rivals. Like, just the chemistry there. Like, again, it's not something I've seen in a really, really long time with this team.
Now, were you at the game last night against Nashville?
Yes.
Was the crowd as buzzed as it sounded? I know Rock said it was from where he was. You're a little bit down
and
low.
I happen to have sat in the 100s. I got to tell you guys, I've been a season ticket holder in the 300s my entire life, and while the view was fantastic where I was sitting, the suits just destroyed the game for me. They really did. The view was great, but not a single person was wearing a Ranger jersey, and Lundqvist got hit by someone, but think of it. McDonough pushed a player into Lundqvist, and I didn't see it.
All I saw was that
someone on Nashville hit Lundqvist and he fell to the ground. And obviously I stood up and like lost my mind. And everybody,
right.
You know, was like screaming to kill him. And everybody just kind of looked at me like I had 10 heads and they were all on their Blackberries. It was horrible. But they didn't know the goal song. someone asked who Potvin was. It was horrible. It was horrible. But, yeah.
Say,
but,
Marcy, you ended the show with a fantastic call.
Oh, thanks, guys.
This guy that I follow on Twitter, I forget his name. He was at the game last night, and he tweeted a picture of a guy sitting in front of him reading his Kindle while the game's going on. And I said, Nick is his name. And he said he was going to listen tonight because I promised him I'd talk about it, but we just ran out of time while we're streaming. But, yeah, he tweeted a picture, and I said, you've got to say something to him. I said, I would. I mean, of course, I'm an asshole, but I would definitely say something to him. Like, so he said, he wound up saying to the guy, like, hey, do you get the game on that thing or something?
Yeah. And then there's this woman that started dancing in front of me, and she took her scarf off, and it was like I was mortified for her. So, yeah, it was bad.
Marcy actually answered the question why she was talking. That's multitasking for you, the chat.
No, I'm trying to listen to Jim, and there's a whole thread going on about my age and my PhD and all
great.
This stuff. And I'm like, what's going on? But yeah.
All right.
But okay.
So that's it, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Great show, guys.
Yeah, Marcy, thanks for the call once again. You know your stuff. You know, I go all, you know, me and you do have our little battles, but, you know, it's all in good fun, and it's all about, we both love the Rangers equally. You might even love them a little bit more.
And I have to tell you, my first game back into the Garden after, like, my grandfather's passing, I went with my entire family and my cousins, and it was great, and we all wore the same jersey. That was last week. And maybe the only reason why I would love them more than you would be because of my family and what they taught me. But yeah, it was good. It was good stuff. But anyway, thank you for having me on the show, and have a great night, okay?
Anytime.
Okay, you too. Take care, Marcy.
All right.
Bye.
All right, Jim. Well, another one in the books, as they say.
James is on hold. He got on hold about 30 seconds before we went off.
All right, we'll put him on. Let's
see. All right, James.
Hey, guys, what's up? I thought you guys were going till 10.
No, an hour and a half tonight. Short show since we were just on Monday.
Monday. And then, you know, only one game. We figured we didn't have that much to talk about. So what's going on?
Well, when you got two daughters and stuff, they're always on the phone. You know, I'm waiting to use my phone, you know.
And then James Dolan gave us an hour and a half worth of
I was supposed to say bullshit, right?
Yeah. Did you what was your reaction when you heard Dolan?
I laughed. You know, I think I even put it down on the page, you know, on the underground page and stuff. Like the all we need is Wilpon in there, man. You got like the real Three Stooges. These guys are
Daddy.
A bunch of. I mean, really, these guys are stupid. These guys are stupider than the Three Stooges. That's how dumb these guys are altogether.
Daddy.
Right.
I'm trying to make Jim laugh with a clip of Micheletti saying daddy.
Daddy.
Yeah, but you know, I just went to the end of Marcy's call and stuff. You know, see, I feel differently because we've had these in the past. We've had the guys. We had all this talent on the team, you know. We bought all this talent. And what happened to it? Okay, maybe these guys were old or whatever the case may be. They, you know, it was the country club like we mentioned the other night, but they didn't do anything. And, you know, I'd rather have these young guys who are hungry. I'd rather have these guys who sometimes are no names because there's a lot of good teams out there. As a matter of fact, I think I wrote down the thing there. Ever since we talked to Kari Wilson that night, I've kept in touch with him, and I got an email from him today. And he talked about how great the Rangers played, and he goes, they looked like they were playing playoff hockey last night because, of course, his son was playing in Nashville. So, you know, and he says, they really look good. He goes, I've seen only a few games. He goes, but they have that. Either they seem to have that defense first mentality. They're not letting anybody in. They're clogging the neutral zone. They're right on top of them. You know, the forecheck. You know, they get into the zone. They're right on top of them. They're forcing the play. He goes, they get into the. You know, they're forechecking hard in the corners. They're working the boards. They're doing everything right. He goes, and that's a pretty young team. And he says that's exactly. He goes. Sometimes it's better to have these guys that you don't know too much. He goes, look at Nashville. He goes, they're always in the playoffs. Okay. He goes, yeah, they lack the the star person also. He's who do they really have? He goes, but they play as a team. He goes, and maybe if they, you know, if they had the money or whatever, because maybe they could have got somebody better to put them over the top. since they have the goaltending they have, you know, he says they play as a unit. He goes, and I still to this day don't understand how they play so well. He goes, every time I watch them, they amaze me how they play. He goes, and they always play well. And he goes, and the Rangers, he goes, you guys have a legitimate sniper at least, you know. He goes, in Gavrik, and you guys have, you know, just everybody playing together. You have great goaltending. He goes, and that's something to look forward to the playoffs. And who knows what happens at the trade deadline? And that's what I think I mentioned that the other night too. I don't remember, you know, if we're talking about that or not. But you know, and that's why I try to keep my calm and stuff and my confidence, because there is going to be something done. I mean, if they can, I mean, as soon as we saw the rumors of Rick Nash, I mean, I would have loved that, you know. And who knows who else will, you know, will be available. So, you know,
I think, you know, you're getting that email from Carrie Wilson saying that, you know, they are similar to Nashville in a lot of ways, and they do have, you know, certainly have better snipers. Although I think Nashville's scoring is up this year, but they play a very defensive game. But I think the key thing he said in that, the Rangers play playoff hockey already.
That's exactly it, you know, and that hit me, and that's the one thing I wanted to bring, you know, to the show tonight, is that he says they look like they're playing, he goes, as if they were playing playoff hockey, he goes, and he says, I don't know if you noticed, he goes, but over the last few years, he goes, the crowd is much more into it than I've seen in a while, and I'm like, hell yeah, you know, I mean, even the last few years, remember we were saying the Garden's kind of dead, man. It's like, you know, every time I listen to it, is there something with the microphones? Do they have something turned off? Because it seemed very quiet, and it's not like that anymore. Even last night against Nashville, you could hear the crowd. You could hear things going on and stuff, and, you know, it makes it more exciting. And to me, this is a much more exciting team, having these young guys. And we have, like, what? I think we have the youngest team in the NHL, I think, that when they average it out, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think if you take away the two goalies, I think we have the youngest, or maybe the youngest.
Yeah, or second the youngest, something like that. But we're a very young team playing well, you know. And it's like, you know, if these guys, okay, you know, a lot of these guys on Boston and stuff, you know, I guess they got to come up and you know, they played well for a couple of years, and they thought they were going to do something a few years ago, and they finally came together last year and won it all. So, hey, if it ain't this year for us, maybe it's next year. I'm hoping it's this year. I mean, you know, like I said, let's hope at the trade deadline there's something that could put something together. I mean, like Eddie was saying the other night, our number one is going to be a very low number one pick. He goes, you know, so maybe we could put some kind of package together for somebody.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind giving up that number one.
I mean, I just think it's a little bit of a jinx for freaking Dolan, or it's stupid to talk about the Stanley Cup, because he really, like I was said earlier in the show, I take no credence in what this guy's got to say, because he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You know, it's like I say, it's like my grandmother or grandfather walking by the TV set and going, oh, the Rangers look good. They're going to win the Stanley Cup. You know, that's
yeah, right.
What that means to me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I always had that hope, too, and stuff. I really hate you. Never know. But you know what? I bet you the first thing Torts told his players was, don't listen to that asshole upstairs. Don't listen to him. Don't let him get in your head. Keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, and that's why I look at it. I don't know if you guys listened to Boomer and Cotton and stuff. I listened to it this morning. And Boomer was saying how he says to him, he goes, Torts is just like Bill Cowher is. He goes, the same exact, he says, from watching 24/7, he said it's the same exact way he talks to his players and the same exact way he goes about the business. He goes, that's exactly what Bill Cowher's done, you know, the way he is as a football coach. So I was like, hey, man, if you're going to measure, you know, to a guy like Bill Cowher and stuff and say Torts is like that, yeah, Torts has won in the past. So we know he does something right. I mean, he's been a winner. I mean, he's turning the team around. And just like you guys were talking about, you know, he's instilled it in their heads, you know, that they have to still work. They're not going to just show up and win, you know. And I like that, you know. It's not like it was years ago when you had all these, you know, we had the superstars. We had two lines that were worth like $50 million right there. And they're just like, you know, dump and chase, and they ain't working, and you know, nothing's happening. And we're looking at it like, what the hell are these guys doing? I mean, they're so talented, whoever the hell we had, you know, and nothing's working. And at that time, I remember thinking to myself, and there were some other teams I can't remember back then, but you'd see these no-name teams have much more points than the Rangers. And I'm like, how the hell are these teams with these guys here? I'm looking at these rosters. I'm like, who the hell are these people? They have more than, you know, who do we have at the time? Like Theo Fleury and Lindros or whoever it was, you know? I'm like, these guys have more points than us? How could that be? And
look at the Devils. I mean, the Devils were a no-name team. I mean,
exactly.
They had one guy. They had Richie or Claude Lemieux, and that was it. And
that was it, exactly. You know, and you know, and some of us may turn into these people. You know, I mean, like a Stephon and stuff. I mean, I mean, goal scoring is down than it was years ago. I mean, they used to be guys who would score, for how many, like Solani and Curry, all these guys, and Yaga. These guys were scoring 15, 60 goals every year. When the hell do you see a 60 goal scorer now? We don't. You know, I mean. You know, we just don't. So if I see a guy score 20 goals, to me it's like almost an equivalent to like 30 from years ago.
30, 35.
Like, yeah. So if we have a couple of 20-goal scorers, you know, three, four 20-goal scorers, and you have Gabrick up there with 35 or whatever, 40, to me that's pretty damn good. I mean, you know, but like I said, these guys are playing their roles. I mean, they're all doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, or we'd be.
Hello?
What happened?
Yep, we just lost James. It's all right. I had to. Time for me to go anyway.
Bye bye.
Exactly.
Bye James, bye.
Call back again sometime.
Yes.
Well, great show, Ed. And I'll talk to you soon.
Take care, everybody. Love
good
you,
night, everybody.
Chicken grease.
Good night, everybody.